How many of you believe that Jesus is the light of the world? Amen. He is the light of the world. To Reverend Dr. Lincoln Bingham, other ministers, officers, and members and friends, it's good to be here. It's absolutely good to be here. As I always say, I'm elephant happy and hippopotamus glad to be here. Thank you, Pastor Bingham, for the opportunity to stand before this congregation and to proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. To God be the glory, great things he has done. There is a word from the Lord. I heard somebody say that, so I thought I'd say that. There is a word from the Lord, and you have already heard it in the reading of the scripture. But for more emphasis, I will read it again. The gospel according to Luke chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. This is the translation from the King James Version. He says, Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught. A man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, "Arise and stand here." And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, "I will ask one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy?" And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Let us pray. Open now the crystal fountain from which the healing waters flow. Let the fiery, cloudy pillow guide us on our journey through. Bread of heaven, feed us till we want no more. Bread of heaven, feed us till we want no more. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. I want to use for a theme, if you will, a historical, biblical, and theological perspective on the more sensible thing to do. For a subject, a man with a withered hand. A man with a withered hand. I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and some sleepless nights. But when I look around and I think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days, and I won't complain. Sometimes the clouds are low, I can hardly see the road. I ask a question, Lord. Lord, why so much pain? But he knows what's best for me. Although my weary eyes, they can't see. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain. The Lord has been good to me. He's been good to me. More than this old world could ever be. He's been so good to me. He's dried all of my tears away. Turn my midnights into day. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain. A man with a withered hand. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three of these gospels, which are called synoptics, give this account of a man with a withered hand. Matthew's story perhaps is told from a political view. He writes to the Jews explaining God's kingdom. He writes to the hierarchy of the church, that being Pharisees and Sadducees. Mark's gospel was from the perspective of servanthood. His emphasis is placed on the servanthood of Christ, the fact that he came to serve and not to be served. Luke's gospel, which is the gospel I've chosen to select for this text, writes from the purpose of health and healing. Luke is a physician. He was a man of science and detail. He was of Greek nationality. Luke's emphasis was his emphasis on the humanity of Christ. His main objective was to prove that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, for whatever reasons these writers were writing, and for whatever reasons who they were writing to, all three record this account of a man with a withered hand. And we find in today's Luke's account that it was on another Sabbath day. It was a church day, a Sunday, if you will. Jesus goes in to teach. There was a man there with a withered hand. Now, also in this story, there is another backdrop here. There were those of the religious leaders who had a different kind of perspective here. They wanted to catch Jesus doing something wrong. They wanted to catch him breaking the law. Something nefarious. That's how we are. We are more concerned about our laws and our rules and our regulations and our laws and bylaws. We're more interested in those than we are the goodness of God. It is said, we don't know this man's name. It's not given to us. We don't know what happened to his hand, but it's believed that he might have been a mason, one who works with his hands. We don't know if he's had family or not, if he's a Gentile or if he's a Democrat or if he's a Republican. If he's rich or poor, we are not told that. We don't know if he's educated or uneducated. We don't know if he's a sinner or a saint, but we do know what the text tells us is that he had a withered hand. We're only told that he was in the place and that he had a bad hand. They used to tell us in card plans, I know y'all don't play cards, but they told us, don't complain about the hand you get, just play the hand you're dealt. This man had a bad hand, and his hand was useless. It didn't work. He was a man with a withered hand. I'm going to switch here just for a minute. I want to talk about withering, if you will. Several weeks ago, I planted some begonias in the yard, and I thought I was doing pretty good by watering them and looking over them and tending to them, but it has been so hot and so dry. Every time I look out the yard, they are withering. We've not had any rain all the month of August, and very little, if any, in the month of September. Withering. I've tried to keep them watered, but it's been so dry. They have become dry and sapless. They're losing their vitality, losing their freshness. And so often in our spiritual lives, we can become withered. We can lose our spiritual freshness. We can become spiritually dry, wilting under life's disappointments. We can become in a declining situation. And we can be as the flower. We need some reviving. Church needs to be revived, y'all. And we need to be revived so that we can continue to grow, to increase, to surge forward in our spiritual walk. I'm going to get back to the man with the withered hand. This man was in the synagogue. That's what the text tells us. He had a bad hand. His hand was in decay. It was broken down. It was unfunctional. Or dysfunctional, if you will. It simply did not work the way a hand was meant to work and function. In this text, as usual, as I stated earlier, there were those who had their own motives here, had their own agenda. They could not celebrate the goodness of God. They were not interested in doing the sensible thing. didn't care about doing the sensible thing. You're breaking our law. They were concerned about keeping tabs on the law of Moses and those who would break those laws, and the laws that they themselves added and also broke. Here it was that a man was getting fixed, and all they could see was that he was getting fixed on the Sabbath. Help me, somebody. And Jesus says that the Sabbath was made for man, not man made for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. He had something for them, y'all. In fact, he already knew what they were thinking. The text tells us that. In verse 8 it says, but he knew their thoughts. And I like what he does. He asks a rhetorical question here. He says, and he's being facetious, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to destroy it? I know you have your laws and your bylaws, but will you be willing to do the sensible thing? Y'all done got quiet on me here. Well, let's look at some things here, and we'll move on. There are several things in this text that we notice about the man. First of all, he was in the right place. Help me, somebody. He was in the right place. Now there are those who would suggest that the Pharisees placed him there in order to trick and trap Jesus. But I don't care how he got there or what the motive was. The fact is, he was in the right place. He was in the church, y'all. Church is a good place to be. Well, if you want to get right and get fixed and get your mind in the right place, it's good to be in the right place. If I got trouble with my eyes, I'm not going to go to the dentist's office. Help me, somebody. This man with the withered hand was not, in the juke joint. Hello, somebody. He wasn't at the ball game. I knew y'all get quiet then. He wasn't at home watching the soap operas or a football game. He was not out, the text doesn't tell us, he was not out on the golf course. It was Sunday, Sabbath. He had a withered hand, but he was in the right place. And secondly, as I continue, we notice that this man was in the right position and posture. Look what the text says. I'm in the text. He says in 10, and when he looked around at them all, and he said to the man, stretch out your hand. Help me, somebody. Sometimes we're not humble enough to do what the Lord says. We're too big and too mighty and know too much to do what God would suggest for us to do. This man was in the right position and had the right posture. He was humbling himself. He stretched forth his hand to Jesus. If you want to get help, if you want to get healed, humble yourself. Put yourself in the right position. Put yourself in the right posture, and Jesus will help you. I know he will. I know he will. Too many times we find ourselves in the wrong position. Our attitudes are often placed in the wrong positions. If your neighbor gets a new car, don't be mad, be glad. Our body language will indicate our emotional position and posture. Folk can read your body language. They can look at you and tell that you're in the wrong position. You've got the wrong posture. I've often said to my children that attitude determines altitude. Get your heart right. Your heart needs to be in the right position. That will lead to full fulfillment and restoration of a withered life. This man was in the right position and posture. man with a withered hand. I'm almost done, but there's one more thing I noticed about the man. He was in the right plan. He's in the right plan. You know, every plan ain't your plan. Every situation is not for you. Somebody said, what God has for you is for you. And what God has for me is for me. I don't need to get over in your lane. You don't need to get over in my lane. This man in the synagogue was in the right place at the right time for all the right reasons. I know what the Pharisees and Sadducees were trying to do. But the man was in the right place, had the right position and posture, and now he realizes that he's in the right plan. Ain't it good to be in God's plan? I know you've got your own plan, so to say. You've gone to school and you've got your master's and you've got your PhD degrees and you've done all that has been assigned for you to do, but ain't it good to be in God's plan? I don't know about you, but I want to be in his plan. This man had a messed up hand, y'all. But he was in the right position to be fixed. Songwriter says, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. This man who we don't know his name, but we know that he had a problem, is in the right plan. Just because you got a bad situation don't mean you ain't in God's plan. Just because a doctor gave you some bad news, just because the courts tell you you're in bad shape, just because your hair's falling out, don't worry, you can still be in God's plan. No man's falling out. When you're in God's plan, you're in the right plan. That's all I'm trying to say. Doesn't matter what day it is. It could be Monday, Tuesday. It could be the Sabbath. Who knows? But it's the right plan if you're in his plan. Let me say this. Folk will be critical of you. They will go 10,000 miles out of the way to find fault in you. But when you're in God's plan, you're in the right plan. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. I'm almost ready to preach, y'all. Talking about a man with a withered hand. The text says that this man with a withered hand stretched out his hand and was restored whole. And Luke says it was the right hand that was messed up. But he also says that it was restored just like the other hand. Ain't it good to have two good working hands? This man, no doubt, he couldn't work. He couldn't make a living. He couldn't feed his family if he had one. All he had to do was to stand on a corner and beg. I see folk every day begging on the corners. He stretched out his hand. Songwriter Charles Wesley said, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, where shall I go? Where you gonna go if he pulls away from you? Luke does not tell us any more about this man after he had restored his hand. That's all we get. Somebody said that's all she wrote. But I would like to believe, if you would allow me, I would like to think that this man, the first thing he might have said was, thank you, Jesus. Don't you know that when you think you broke and you look in that pocket and there's a $100 bill in there that you didn't know was in there, the first thing you're going to say is, thank you, Jesus. When your car wasn't start and you didn't know how you was going to fix it, but you got in there and it cranked up and got running, you said, thank you, Jesus. I believe this man, the first thing he said was, thank you, Jesus. Luke don't tell us that, but I believe that. He also probably said, look at me. Help me, somebody. I'm a testimony. I didn't make it on my own. I'm not standing here all alone. It was Jesus who gave me this opportunity. Look at me. I'm a testimony. Is anybody out there a testimony? We're talking about that this morning in Sunday school lesson. It's urgent that you tell somebody. I don't know about you, but I can see this man running down a dusty road and telling everybody he sees, come and see a man. Look what he's done to my hand. He fixed it. I know you made fun of me, you laughed at me, you talked about me, but look at me. I'm a testimony. Now I'm made whole. Songwriter said, I am so grateful that God is in my life. A man with a withered hand. As I close, let me say that life can be a withering experience. Your money will wither. Relationships will wither. Desires and dreams will wither. Every now and then, my soul gets withered. But I hear him say, lift up your countenance. Lift up your spirit. Lift up your faith. I hear him say, I got you. Stretch out your hand. Man with a withered hand. Oh, I know you've been mistreated and underappreciated, undervalued, walking alone, medicine don't work. It's a withering time. But I'm simply saying, put your withered life in the hand of the man from Galilee. Jesus will fix it for you. David said, his mercy endureth forever. Man with a withered hand. Somebody here today whose life is withered. We want to extend to you an invitation for Christian discipleship by letter, by baptism, or by Christian experience. If you are here today, you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. While the councils come, you will have the greatest invitation of your life. As this congregation sings, wherever he go, wherever he leads, I'll go. Doing the sensible thing. Jesus believed in doing the sensible thing. I see you coming. Is there any more? Somebody ought to come today. With a withered hand.